until you can put eyes into the pipe, and that's what we're doing. We're putting eyes into the pipe and the pressure. You know, Andy, I know this is a great topic because, you know, we are living and breathing in it. But when we did the experiment on my, you know, just say my lab here at my home, because, you know, I have a lab here, and, you know, we put pressure gauges on my systems and we were watching pressure. And, you know, my pressure here in my network was down 20 pounds over normal conditions for a season. And it had me wonder, my irrigation system wasn't working. I'm like, oh my God, we got to get pumps. And, you know, I notified the municipality, like, hey, you know, what is going on? Why are my water pressure lower? And the guy's like, well, how do you know that? Is what he asked me. And I'm like, because I have pressure gauges on my system and I'm looking at it, and they had to replace a bunch of their booster pumps at the pump station because they were failing. So the municipality had to go in and replace their pumps. And now guess what? The pressure's back up to normal. But there was a full season here at the house lab that we couldn't run the irrigation effectively because it was designed at this pressure. It was operating at that pressure, but because the pressure was down 15, 20 pounds, we had very poor performance for an entire season.
If you are an irrigation professional, old or new, who designs, installs, or maintains high-end residential, commercial, or municipal properties, and you want to use technology to improve your business, to get a leg up on your competition, even if you're an old-school irrigator from the days of hydraulic systems, this show is for you.
So yesterday I was just, you know, of course, looking at the sprinklers here at the resort, walking around, taking video of all of the sprinklers that need to be unfucked. which is like 80% of the sprinklers. And in my mind, I'm thinking, they shouldn't even be running this system right now. Like, they literally should not be running it because it's so inefficient that it's just not even worth it, essentially. Then I just started to have this thought in my mind about, you know, flow monitoring, pressure monitoring, you know, some of the things that we're working on. And I don't know where this came from, but then I was reminded in my brain about a game that, you know, sometimes kids play. And I was going to say, hey, Paul, let's just riff on this. Let's play a game that kids play this morning. And the game is called Would You Rather.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard, do you know that game? You know? And so I just, for sake of saving time, just tried to get kind of the definition of Would You Rather. And there really isn't a good one, but you basically just ask a question. Would you rather this or that? And then the other person kind of just answers the question. So one example might be, would you rather be able to fly or read minds? Would you rather have money or would you rather have fame? And if nothing else, I mean, it to me, it like sparks conversation. To the kids, they probably don't converse about the answers. They just move on to the next one. So what I wanted to do this morning was play that game with you with one specific question that came to my mind when I was walking around the resort looking at the shitty sprinklers barely operating. Okay,
game
so
to play, man.
You game to play?
Can't wait.
Perfect. So, and who knows where this might go, but the question is, would you rather have flow monitoring or pressure monitoring on a commercial irrigation system?
Wow, that's an interesting question, because obviously in the years past, we really only had flow monitoring, really didn't have pressure monitoring. So today I would say, wow, okay, I mean, based upon what the tech is available, would I rather have flow or pressure? Of course, I would rather have both, but...
Good. It's an interesting question because it makes you think a bit deeper on both of them individually, because you have to pick one. Then at least what comes to my mind is, well, what does each one do best and which one is more valuable?
But I know one thing that I've struggled with over the years that I've been doing this is if you maintain irrigation systems and you see some distribution issues over the years and you wonder what the heck is going on with the system, and then you try to diagnose it and then you put pressure gauges on it, but the pressure gauge will only tell you what's happening when you're there at the site. You got to data log the pressure gauge, or the data logger then go back and look at the pressure and go, what the heck is going on with the pressure? So because we really haven't had a remote monitoring capability of pressure, it really hasn't been something that's been, you know, a vital element. But if I could have pressure sensing, continuous logging like we do in flow, you know, there's a lot of things that these things tell you that we really, really wouldn't know. And I remember a couple times when we were managing some larger irrigation systems here in Washington, D.C., and our techs would go out and they would turn on the systems and they go, well, Paul, these things aren't working anymore. Their pressure's way down. We need a pump. And they're like, what do you mean we need a pump? I mean, they worked last year. And then we go, okay, well, let's figure out what's going on. And we realize that the pressure from the municipality went down. Either they restricted it, they turned it down, they had some issues. I don't know what happened, but you know, a large assortment of our systems did not function the way they had in the past. And it was because of the pressure from the municipality went down, and now they're not functioning but below 20 PSI.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then,
you know, on top of that too, Andy, I know, so I've been doing work up on Capitol Hill 25 years, right? And there's been systems that I've had and maintained in the past that worked fine 10 years ago. And then you go in today and, you know, you want to renovate the system and you go look at the pressures coming in from municipality and you recalculate your analysis and go, these systems won't work on the city pressure. We now have to add booster pumps in order for them to function to a level where we get the distribution uniformity that we need. So there is information out there now that tells me that the municipality that supplies domestic water to whatever area, the pressures fluctuate tremendously. And I know as a system ages, meaning a municipal water system ages, they have to do pressure monitoring and regulating because they're going to get bursts in pipes and fittings on the large mains. So, you know, it is a known fact that municipal water suppliers reduce their water pressure to allow their system to last longer, that then it affects irrigation systems. So that's really it in a nutshell.
Interesting. So, wow, that's beyond what I was thinking. So what you're saying is that it's possible that municipalities lower the pressure at certain times or days or occasions to enhance the longevity of their infrastructure.
Because what happens is at a certain time, a pipe, fittings, whatever age, you know, you're hitting the point where they're going to be failing. And, you know, having a 20-inch main fail, it's significant costs for these folks. So if they can go in and either put pressure regulators on them or regulate the pressure at the pump house to reduce it to whatever 10 more pounds down, I mean, it saves pipe, it saves fitting, it saves manpower, it saves leaks, it saves breaks. So they do this, and it's something that we don't know as irrigation folks that happens unless you actually maintain, you know, systems over years. And that's why, you know, you and I see it more clearly because we put pressure loggers on systems and we can see them. But, you know, as you know, Andy, I put pressure loggers on systems, but the only ones I've been using is they're Bluetooth or, you know, they're not cellular yet. Of course, we know that we have them and we can get them. But you go look at the data and you go see, well, wow, look at where the pressure is now compared to when it was when we installed the system. And it could be 10, 15, 20 pounds lower. And 20 pounds lower in a domestic system with no pump, that's a big deal. You know, your DUs are down to nothing. Your system's running at 15 PSI where you need 30 to 40 PSI.
Right, right. And in the indoors, interior, inside plumbing space, you don't see the water because it's inside the pipe. The only time you see the water is when you turn on the faucet or you flush the toilet, but pressure isn't as critical in those moments. But outdoors, we actually see, we look at the pressure differential with the performance of the sprinkler. Right? So like walking around this resort here, I'm looking and most of the systems, most of the zones are crap because there's lots of broken pipes underground. Like I see water oozing up and sprinklers barely operating because there's broken infrastructure. But if there was a gauge on the system, you know, I guess here's the question. Would you rather have a flow sensor to say we have a broken pipe or a pressure sensor? And does it matter if you have a broken pipe or does it matter if the pressure dropped? Either one can be an indicator of poor performance.
That's right.
Shut the system down.
And it just depends on really what you're trying to manage, for sure. But if you have a lot of large systems out there in a network, you do want to see what's happening in the pressure, because you know that there we're limited by what the pressure is supplied by the municipality. Now if we have a booster pump, I mean it's not as critical because we can at least manage the pressure using a booster pump. But I mean, I know more than three quarters of the systems that I manage, that we manage as a company, there's no booster pumps. So we're limited by what the pressure is from the municipality or the supplier. And if you have a 10 or 20 pound pressure difference on your network from one year to the next, you're just wasting water.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so thinking about, would you rather, if you could only pick one, what comes to my mind is before I decide which one I'd rather have, I think about what is the purpose of each device? What does each device tell you? What is the data that comes out of it and what do you use it for? And so thinking about a flow sensor, it is a counter, right? It counts. 1 gallon, 2 gallons, 3 gallons, 4 gallons, it counts. And it's important to know how much water you're using. And yes, it can be used for diagnostic purposes because you could have a high flow or a low flow outside of the baseline operating standard. But its main goal is to count and to count over time and to, you know, provide you with the consumption, the usage. And when I think of a pressure gauge, it isn't really to count. It isn't, it's more of a diagnostic tool in some regards. It's more of a way to diagnose system performance versus, you know, count.
Well, you know,
over
one
time.
Of the things that you and I have been doing over the last, gosh, it's been years specifically, but you know, I know we've been working on a couple projects for 2 years or more. But the data, when we lay the data that you and I analyze, the flow and the pressure data comparatively against each other, and we say, well, one day we had a zone that used 2,500 gallons, and then the next day that same zone at the same amount of minutes was running 2,700 gallons. And you're like, what happened? What was the difference between one day and the next? And then, you know, you and I look at it and go, oh, look, the pressure went up by 5 pounds. Or we have one day it was supposed to be 2,500 and now it's 2,300. And we look at it and go, the pressure was down 7 pounds. So when you actually analyze the data and you look at it closely, pressure is a big tool to figure out why my flow is up or down, because as pressure goes up, flow goes up. As pressure goes down, flow goes down. And that's a big deal when it comes to that, right?
Exactly. Yep. And when I'm thinking about the flow sensor, and let's just say you have a high flow setting of, let's just say 10%, to keep the math easy, you could say, hey, if this zone is running 10% above normal, I want you to shut it down and send me alarm. Well, based on what you just said and what we have seen is that it's possible that a 10% high flow is not a broken system. There's nothing wrong with that zone at all. It's simply running 10% high because the pressure is up that day.
You could.
Yeah, you could get false alarms.
And then you don't have any data point to go, well, why would that happen, right? And mm-hmm. if you overlaid it with the pressure and go, okay, well, here we had there was a spike in pressure for whatever reason. And again, until you can put eyes into the pipe, and that's what we're doing. We're putting eyes into the pipe and the pressure and go, oh, wow, look, the municipality. And, you know, Andy, I know this is a great topic because, you know, we are living and breathing in it. But when we did the experiment on my, you know, just say my lab here at my home, because, you know, I have a lab here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put pressure gauges on my systems and we were watching pressure. And, you know, my pressure here in my network was down 20 pounds over normal conditions for a season. And it had me wonder, my irrigation system wasn't working. I'm like, oh my God, we got to get pumps. And, you know, I notified the municipality, like, hey, you know, what is going on? Why are my water pressure lower? And the guy's like, well, how do you know that? Is what he asked me. And I'm like,
of course,
because I have pressure gauges on my system and I'm looking at it, and they had to replace a bunch of their booster pumps at the pump station because they were failing. So the municipality had to go in and replace their pumps. And now guess what? The pressure's back up to normal. But there was a full season here at the house lab that we couldn't run the irrigation effectively because it was designed at this pressure. It was operating at that pressure, but because the pressure was down 15, 20 pounds, we had very poor performance for an entire season.
Right, right. And inside your home, it likely was still okay, you know, because homes aren't necessarily built, or sorry, the infrastructure and the utilities that are brought to the home aren't brought there to run an irrigation system. They're there for bodies to potties.
That's right.
Right.
Or, you know, the one way that how we did, and my wife realized what was wrong, is why is the shower so lame, Paul? Right? Because usually we had a very nice full shower, and I'm like, you're right, what is wrong? Right? And then we started analyzing the pressure, and we go, oh shit, the pressure's down in the house. I went to my neighbors, their pressure was down. You know, and all the systems in our neighborhood, we're inefficient now at this point. You can see the donuts, you know, in the system. Yep. And the heads weren't popping up fully. And that's when I notified and contacted the municipality and asked them. And then that's what they told me.
Yeah. So coming back around to the question, would you rather have flow sensing or pressure sensing? It probably depends. However, what it depends on is not part of the question here today. So I think that, well, I'll ask you. You get to go first on this one. If you could only have flow or pressure, would you rather have flow or pressure?
Well, it goes back to your question. You know, what is most important to you when it comes to how you're managing a system? Because really, the data is about management, right? So if we're managing a system, so for Paul and Paul's instance, where I need to really provide reports on flow consumption and flow data, especially in some of the projects where I do performance contracting. In those, I need the flow because that's a part of my responsibility to report on the flow data. But if I'm managing an irrigation system for efficiencies, I want pressure. So there's a dual-edged sword there. In some instances where I have to report on flow, I need a flow sensor. When I'm managing an irrigation system for precise application of water, I want pressure.
Yeah, that's great. I think, and I hadn't really ever thought about it in depth, you know, until the last couple days walking around this resort. And when you, if you think about a system, And let's just pretend you only have pressure. That's what I tried to tell myself. Okay, would you rather, let's just, you run the scenario in your head. Let's pretend I only have pressure. Would that help me better manage the system? And I would say yes, exactly to your point. It's a management tool, because flow is a management tool, but it's a counter. And pressure actually is almost more sensitive to give you real-time feedback on the system, because if you turn on five zones at once, what's that going to do? Affect your pressure. So you could almost do some of the management with flow, or some of the management with pressure that you can do with flow. But when you have a high flow or a low flow, what you don't know is why. I think that's what came to my mind, is that when you're, if you're 500 or 1,000 miles from a site and you cannot go there, and you have a high flow or a low flow alert, you don't know why. And I think that pressure helps answer the why. Why is this happening? And so I think for management of a system, I'm almost thinking I would rather have pressure.
And I agree with you. And two, one of the things that we learned about flow and pressure, Andy, is that pressure, you can almost always install a pressure device on a system without cutting into pipelines, because almost every single backflow preventer has a port where we can tie a pressure gauge into. But if you have a system with a 2-inch or 3-inch or 4-inch mainline, guess what you got to do in order to get the flow? You got to cut the pipe and cut the fling and put the valve box in. And, you know, it's pretty hard. But if you want to really simply, cost-effectively manage a system effectively and inexpensively or cost-effectively, a pressure sensor is the easiest and quickest way to analyze that system.
Yeah. Very good. Very good point. And there's less room for error in that as well, because sometimes flow sensors aren't always installed correctly, then the K factors aren't entered correctly, so there's room for error in that. And, you know, it'd be kind of like when you go to the doctor, what is the first thing they do when you sit in the chair?
They want to check your pressure.
They want to check your blood pressure, right?
They're not checking your blood flow, right? They're not checking the flow. You know, the flow gets checked right when they do your blood test and they see what's going on with that. But you're right. You know, they do want to check your pressure. And one of the things too that I've learned about this wireless pressure sensing or deployment is we now can deploy pressure sensors along the entire plumbing network. So you can put one at the backflow, you can put one on the main line out in the field, you can put them on lateral lines if you wanted to, and you can do them temporarily, you can do them permanently, where a flow sensor, typically you're going to just put it on the main at the point of connection, where if you have a big main infrastructure and you wanted to really see the hydraulic system operating, you can put these sensors all throughout this main line and validate, you know, really what your pressure sensing is looking like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cost effectively. Absolutely, man. And as well as to see if it holds pressure.
Great idea on that. Yeah, it's true.
You know, if you're installing a system for the first time, let's check to make sure there's no leaks here. Let's do an overnight pressure test, 24-hour.
Excellent.
You know, I don't know what would be typical in terms of what's the threshold. Is it allowed to drop by 10 PSI? Does it have to stay static? What type of threshold?
So whenever we install new irrigation systems and you have to do pressure tests, whether it's the irrigation main or not, you know, typically you're going to see a 24-hour pressure test, and it must sustain the pressure. It cannot have any drops at all. That means there's a leak in the system. So this is a valid way, you're right, to be able to do pressure tests. And even if people are, you know, managing systems or analyzing systems or auditing systems, these tools are great to be able to see if a mainline is holding pressure overnight or even almost instantaneously.
That's right. So let's think of this for all you maintenance contractors out there that might be listening. the next time you pick up a new client, perhaps you should do a 24-hour pressure test so that you can identify poor infrastructure before it looks like your problem. Identify the problem that already exists when you take over the system. And I've actually never heard of anyone taking over the maintenance on a system and doing a 24-hour pressure test to create the baseline. I mean, that just seems like a no-brainer, to release liability, to identify the system performance when you took it over.
And you know, another good point on that, and Andy, is that if you're doing and taking over a system and you're doing an audit, you know, it's good to know if you have an ability to check the flow per zone, but it's also really good to check the pressure per zone, because if you got some systems that are running at 10 pounds or 5 pounds, and then you take it over, and then the next year you get a dry spell and the system looks like shit, and they're like, what's wrong? What are you doing? Well, you can easily go back to the data and go, well, you know, we told you when we took it over that the pressure was bad and that we recommended a pump, but you didn't want to pay for one. So, you know, here's the data.
Right. Okay. So what's your final answer, Paul?
Would you rather have
flow or pressure?
I'm going to go with pressure. I mean, that's the data point that allows me to, if we're monitoring systems remotely, which we do significant amounts of, I can be able to do a better diagnostic here from my desktop than I could if it flow. Ideally, I want flow and pressure, but if I had to choose one, especially if I'm doing remote monitoring, that's the one I need and I want.
Okay, fantastic. I would agree with you, and I'll take a slight spin, and I would say that from a digital perspective, digital meaning connected in the cloud, visible remotely, I would choose pressure. Because I would say, let's just put an analog water meter on the system. If we want to count gallons, we can put a gallon counter on the system, a water meter. But I don't need to look at the water meter all the time, necessarily. I can look at the pressure in real time today, yesterday. But if the water meter's there, it doesn't even have to be connected to the controller, it's counting. We got a counter,
right?
But I want the real-time digital pressure reading.
And as you and I both know, that the tools are there today to be able to now deploy wireless pressure sensors. Now, we don't have the ability to tie them back electronically to the controller yet, right? Yet, but it's coming and it's here and the technology is available. It's just a matter of integrating it now into an irrigation system.
Absolutely. Good conversation. Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
Always good. Well,
until we'll have to do another episode of Would You Rather. It's very nice, man. It keeps us in a good box talking about something that's like black or white, flow or pressure. Would you rather have an NPR nozzle or an impact sprinkler?
Yeah, I can't wait to do it again. Great topic.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for the good brain share this morning. And appreciate all you guys listening to another exciting episode of the Sprinkler Nerd Show. And would you rather?
Good stuff, Andy.